All right. So, so David, so you recently, I guess it was not too long ago, you wrote a very interesting article for the Vancouver Observer, kind of looking into this robocall scandal, but specifically on the Conservative Party's use of a firm out of the United States that's heavily tied in with the Republican Party. So, could you talk about, I guess, how you came across this, and so then what ridings are involved with this whole thing?
Sure, I'll put it in a bit of context. This company, Front Porch Strategies, only came to light because after the outbreak of the robocall scandal, where people had received. Thousands of people had received misleading, possibly illegal phone calls before the election. The Conservatives said, well, that they probably came from the Liberal Party because they used an American firm, and the Conservatives didn't. It turned out that that was a mistake, that the Liberals had not used it. In fact, the local Conservative campaigns had used this firm, Front Porch Strategies, in Ohio. So some people looked into it a bit, but the firm basically said we had nothing to do with it. A few bloggers started digging into it, and them and myself found a whole bunch of tweets and Facebook on their open public profiles, basically admitting to having been on the ground in Canada during the election, knocking on doors, phoning constituents, trying to influence the election for the campaigns of Rick Dykstra and Julian Fantino in particular. Fantino's the assistant associate defense minister. And that's actually apparently illegal under Elections Canada. The law says a person who does not reside in Canada shall, during an election period, in any way induce electors to vote or refrain from voting, or vote or refrain from voting for a particular candidate, if they're not a Canadian citizen. So the law is pretty clear, and we have pictures of them in Toronto. We've got tweets from them saying Matt and PJ, the directors of the company, are headed to Toronto tomorrow to campaign for Conservative candidates, lending a hand for MP Fantino here in Toronto, knocking on doors for MP Rick Dykstra. It might not seem like a big deal. I talked to the company. They told me that while it was only a few days that they were doing the campaigning, and they were, you know, hoping to get some contracts for their firm. They're one of the best-known robocall and mass telephone town hall companies in the States. They've won an award for their work doing teletown halls. And in fact, they worked for 14 Conservative campaigns in the last election. So they were widely used, and they are an American company, which is not illegal to use an American company, but it is illegal to be on the ground campaigning. In fact, a few years back, Michael Moore, the commentator from the States, came to Toronto and made a comment, you know, everyone should stop Stephen Harper. And in fact, he got in trouble for that. They investigated him for interfering. He didn't go door knocking. He wasn't hired by any candidate, and certainly, he didn't have the kind of you know, professional connection to the election campaign that Front Porch Strategies did.
So just to back up, so their director and CEO were knocking on doors in Toronto.
Yes, PJ Wenzel is the director, and Matthew Parker is the CEO. Actually, PJ Wenzel was just promoted, I believe, to president. But they flew up to Toronto, they announced it on their Twitter, they showed a picture of them in Julian Fantino's campaign office, and they claimed that they only did a few hours of volunteering here and there, but that professionally their only connection to the campaign was through telephone town halls. Which, I mean, we have nothing else to go on to prove that that's not the case, except for the fact that they were directly campaigning for at least two members of parliament. Interestingly, to add to this, I dug a little further and found out that only 10 of the campaigns that they worked for declared Front Porch Strategies as an election expense, which means that there are 4 of the 14 that they boasted they worked for that did not report them. And I thought, I was told initially by one source that, well, it's because their electoral district may have spent the money. Turns out you can't do that. Elections Canada has clearly told me that an election expense, if it's used during the election period, have to be declared by the name of the payee on the statement. So there's something else going on there too that we haven't quite figured out yet, but it certainly doesn't both. I'm not going to say it's directly linked to the robocall scandal, but the fact that they arose in connection to it and there's some kind of irregular behavior here does certainly lend weight to the idea that there's some systematic or at least orchestrated efforts were made in the last election that were out of the ordinary for our politics here.
It's interesting that Front Porch Strategies, when he did some digging, was actually kind of upfront about it, on Twitter and social media. But I'm curious, the concern.
And to me personally, they were their Canadian representative, mm-hmm. Jim Ross, who also happened to be the campaign director for Rick Dykstra, the MP. Mm-hmm. He got back to me by email a few times. He's phoned me, so they were quite upfront about. He said it's not true that we were here for the whole election. They were here just for a few. I'll describe brief incidental volunteerism over the course of a day and a half. We were trying to acquire new clients. There was no other involvement. So that's what he told me, and they were not hiding it. That's for sure.
Now I'm curious. What has the Conservative Party's response been to this? Have they just flat out denied, or what is the response?
Well, their response so far has been that they have nothing to do with any electional irregularities. They hope things will be investigated. On this issue, they're still looking into which of the other. I've asked them which of the four ridings that didn't declare the expenses, so they said they're going to get back to me last week. So who knows if they will, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and maybe I'll be back on here saying that it's all clear that those election expenses were legit. But so far, I haven't got a response on the Front Porch thing from either of the campaigns that hired or that had Front Porch campaigning for them.
Yes. Now, also at the start, you said now the it was originally that the Liberals were accused of using this company. Now, have other parties, to your knowledge, the NDP or the Liberals or whoever, or maybe even the Green Party, used a company similar to Front Porch?
Well, all parties do robocalls, and all parties do that I know of do or increasingly are using these town halls that Front Porch provides, as well as a whole bunch of other companies. If you look through the Elections Canada expense returns, you can see a whole slew of different companies that provide election services. The conservative side, there's Campaign Research, there's Responsive Marketing Group, there's Front Porch, there's a few others. On the other parties would have their own preferred agencies, so that's not unusual. Apparently the Liberals didn't use the American companies because that came to light, and it left the government a little bit embarrassed, I guess, because the media said, wait a second, they didn't use an American company. They got the name mixed up. It was not Front Porch Strategies. They thought it was something else, and it was a mistake. That's the only reason we know about Front Porch, really. So it's the question is not about hiring American companies or this. It's what some people would see as the importation of more Republican-style electoral tactics into the Canadian electoral system, and that would be reflected in voter suppression. It would be reflected in the kind of irregularities like phone calls and that thing. That stuff happens all the time in the States. There's people in jail for it actually down there. One of whom actually told the newspapers that he was actually, the scale of what happened in Canada was larger than what he'd ever heard of, and he was actually convicted for electoral fraud.
Who was that person?
Oh, I don't have their name in front of me, but there was a news story. I'll pull it up before our interview.
Okay. Just to go back, you talked about this phone town hall. I've never heard of that. What is that?
Well, it's basically it's hard to describe because I've never been in one. But it's basically a giant conference call in which people can hear from the candidate in the riding, or have a panel talk about a certain issue, right? And so I believe the way it works is they'll phone people on their contact list, like a mass call to thousands of people, perhaps, and say, if you'd like to listen in to what your MP has to say about gun control or what have you, or the election, push 1 or something, and then you get into the call. And some of the calls will even allow you to ask questions. You can enter a queue and ask a question, or have an open discussion, or some are just they're talking to you and explaining their positions. These are newer campaign strategy, they were very, very effective at getting people like Toronto's Mayor Rob Ford elected, very widely used in particularly in conservative-leaning campaigns, I think, where people, they managed to connect with a very large group of people and to help air the grievances of those people to get their support.
Okay, well, thanks. For that explanation, because yeah, like I've never been a part of one either, so I was kind of curious.
Here, I've got the name of that guy. Alan Raymond is the Republican political operative. He went to jail for 3 months for making illegal phone calls in 2008, and he it ended his 10-year career. He was convicted of jamming the Democrats' phone bank in New Hampshire during an election, and he was facing 25 years in prison, but he signed a cooperation agreement and got his free.
Hmm.
So, and he said what he heard from Canada was not good sounding. He said it sounded like an egregious number of writings involved, he said, and sounds extremely systematic. This was a fairly sophisticated operation.
Hmm.
The thing is not rocket science, but it does require knowledge of the process. And that was in the National Post, actually, in May, a couple days ago.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting too, because I mean as people talk about, I think even the line from a lot of people, the Liberals and the NDP and more of the left in the country, were the big knock that they always said on Harper, were that he was going to, and the present Conservatives, they're going to bring forward not only just the policies, but then also the way of doing politics from the Republicans. So do you think, with this front porch strategy, using this kind of stuff, do you think that is kind of the showing that those issues that people had with the Conservatives actually held some water to it? What do you think about that?
Well, that actually, it sort of fits a pattern, that's for sure. And the thing is, no one's ever made the link yet between all these different factors. There's a lot of irregularities that happened last year, especially on the Conservative side, I must say. They haven't been tied together yet. Just this week, we finally have Elections Canada saying they found the same computer address being used by the Pierre Poutine robocaller and the Conservative campaign in Guelph. That's the first formal connection they've found to the Conservative Party. And they also are looking at a Conservative national headquarters. They found some deleted log entries from their database.
Hmm.
That would imply someone with high-level clearance to the system scrubbed the information of whoever was making robocalls that they'd access. But apart from that, you can't really pin it on any one person. It could have just been, as the Conservatives say, a rogue person, a student. They tried to pin it on a 23-year-old, but he said he didn't do it. They're trying to say it only happened in Guelph, but it clearly happened in 200 ridings, according to Elections Canada. And one polling firm suggested that 250,000 Canadians had received the calls. So it's huge. It's much bigger than anything we've ever seen before. And the question is it Republican-style tactics? Well, Front Porch may not have been behind the robocalls, but they're a very Republican-linked company. They campaign repeatedly for Republicans, including George Bush's election nomination, Boehner, a whole bunch of high-profile speakers. They also are quite strong pro-life, anti-choice advocates, and talk about how much work their company does for the protecting the rights of the unborn and that sort of thing. So they're very much the Republican political operatives. They're not just incidentally used by the Republicans. They are partisan sluggers with lots of history working with the Republicans and with even further right campaigns. The fact that they emerged here in Canada at the same time that the Conservatives are looking south and getting strategy ideas from Republicans, I mean, even in the oil sands debate, Ezra Levant, who's on Sun News, he did an internship at the Koch Foundation, which is a giant oil billionaire foundation that supports extremely right-wing movements in the States, especially the Tea Party. So you see the kind of web of connections. We're getting more and more connections to right-wing-style politics. And in the States, actually, both parties use all kinds of dirty tricks and this kind of things. I'm not going to say that it's just the Republicans there. We haven't seen them on this scale in Canada before, which is what's new here.
A lot of people would also say that, the Liberals and the NDP have strong connections to certain organizations, in, in the United States and maybe even elsewhere too. So, I mean, is it maybe a little bit more fear mongering does the systematic nature of it sort of call out to something bigger here?
Yeah, I'm not sure because yes, for instance, the New Democrats are part of a group called the Socialist International. It meets regularly and has social democratic and socialist parties from around the world that meet. So you could equally fearmonger about them, you know, sitting at the same table as a communist or avowed socialist. But what's different here is that the tactics and especially the illegalities have a remarkable amount in similarity with American style and Republican style strategies. So that's the difference, is that you can look at the law and what the laws are, and our laws being broken, and they should be enforced equally no matter which party does them. In this case, we've had very few reports of any lawbreaking on the Liberal or NDP side. There was one phone call that went out in Guelph from the Liberal that warned the people that the Conservative was anti-choice, pro-life, and they didn't identify them as Liberals. So that would be illegal under the election laws as well. But that's one writing and a small number of phone calls. So, you know, you could say is that this kind of taking out of context. We're talking about a systematic campaign to at least 200 ridings in Canada that targeted tens of thousands of voters. I think that's the line that's different here, is that you get any election is going to have a few signs stolen or knocked over, a few, you know, people leafleting too close to the polling station. There's going to always be a mistake or a thing like that. The question is, how systematic was this and how high up does it go if it is connected to the Conservative Party?
Yes, well, thank you very much, David, for coming on and actually explaining the story. Because I mean, this whole robocall thing, and now when you add this onto it, I mean, it really does, it certainly does rock the sense of, I guess, a just and fair democracy in Canada. So it's certainly a very important story, and as always, I'll be following. And if there's any more information, once you find out about it, definitely I'll have you on again and to explain either, as you said, either that there were no irregularities and it gets cleared up, or if there's something more to all this.
Mm-hmm. One last thing to note is that there's currently a court challenge by the Council of Canadians to turn over the results in 7 ridings where there were robocalls or misleading calls made. So that'll be something to watch.
Great. Well, thank you very much, David, for coming on and giving your time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Have a good day.